Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Elliot, this is a conversation that I've actually really been looking forward to.
Because we've been talking about, you know, like spam texts and unsolicited calls. And recently you've had some experience with that with regard to vaccination.
Yeah, that's right. So I've been receiving warnings from family in the UK, for example, that they have been needled by scam WhatsApp messages, which purportedly are from the National Health Service. And basically they ask people to hand over their account details in order to get a vaccination, which is something the National Health Service would never do. But this sort of thing is very worrying.
Yeah, a friend of mine also received something similar, and well, he's here in Singapore. In the first half of last year, the total amount cheated for the top 10 scan types doubled to 82 million Sing dollars as compared to the same period in 2019.
And remember the WhatsApp impersonation scam that was circulating around earlier last year? Perhaps you've come across legitimate e-commerce websites and purchased something online, but then you never actually received a tracking number. This is the kind of way these scams can affect us.
You know, it's like a virus. The thing is, these scams, right, they tend to evolve, they tend to mutate, they become even more convincing. The websites you see these emails come from, they look real.
Yeah, you mentioned a friend who had received an email.
Yeah, until you realize you look closely at the website address or the email address and you're like, wait a minute, that's not right.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, interestingly, these days, they're targeted not just at the unassuming elderly, younger people in their 20s, their 30s, they're falling prey. It's all because of the sophistication of these scams. So what can we do to avoid being duped?
Or worse, if you're already halfway through a scam, and I mean, is it too late? I mean, some scams last 4 years. I mean, what are you going to do about that? On the line is Keith Su, a joint managing partner, Emerald Law. Keith, good morning. How are you?
Hi, morning, guys. Good to be on. I'm good.
All right. We're going to get some legal help from you in dealing with these. Scams are not something new, okay? But as the years have gone by, we've seen it evolve. What are some of the more evolved types, the sophisticated types of scams that you've come across?
Yeah, I was listening to what you guys were talking about earlier, e-commerce scams. You know, in the earlier days, in the pandemic, people were trying to, you know, the scammers were selling masks, hand sanitizers. But of course, nowadays, you know, no one really needs to go online to buy those anymore. Or at least, you know, you're not able to charge a high premium for them. So what we're seeing now, you know, people are pretending to be bank officers, people are pretending to be, although to be fair, that is not new, but it's becoming more common. People are pretending to be, you know, pretending to be like they're from the police, Interpol. You know, we've seen people then trying to sell investments.
Right.
And I think, you know, especially the rise of Bitcoin now, I foresee people trying to sell, you know, various sorts of cryptocurrency or claiming their cryptocurrency, hoping to, you know, convince people that, you know, by buying this, they can earn a lot of money very quickly.
Yeah, so Keith, I think what you're suggesting there is that what's happened is scams have always been there, but now in the digital age, we see them in a digital form. I'm just remembering when I was a kid, we had this gentleman who turned up at the front door and he claimed that he was stranded in our city and needed money to get back home and duped my father.
Is he a Nigerian prince?
Well, bizarrely, we're an Indian family and it was an Indian gentleman. Oh. And so we assumed it was some old uncle that didn't know. But it's that type of thing that is being put in a digital setting, right?
Yes, that's right. Of course, because, you know, especially with everyone using technology more, I mean, the scammers have to be evolved as well. And, you know, with cities being locked down, that seems to be the way they have to operate anyway.
I'm curious, who are the people who are falling for these scams? Because this was a point that we made earlier. It isn't just the vulnerable, the people who might not know better. It's the young population as well. Everyone is being hit by these scams. Yeah.
That's right. And, you know, I think the younger generation, they use technology more. They trust technology more. They may not be as skeptical as the older generation. Sometimes, you know, the older generation, they're not so familiar with technology. They don't trust it so much. So maybe they're a bit more cautious with it. Whereas the younger generation, you know, they use it all the time. They may not be so cautious when it comes to technology.
Right, so
that could be the problem.
You're saying that trust is the issue and that because we're so familiar with technology, we trust it more?
Well, you know, when you WhatsApp your friends over WhatsApp, you don't stop for a moment to think, is it possible that someone has hacked into your friend's WhatsApp, you know, to take control of it or taken control of your friend's social media? There are some of the scams which are taking place. You know, your friends get hacked and then messages are being sent, you click on links, so We got to be careful of those things too.
Yeah. In a second, we'll get into the types of scams and how they hit different industries. But before we move to that, I did want to just want to say, isn't part of the problem is that, you know, we just have fast fingers these days. We're just too quick to react.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's true. Because now, you know, so many things are done via WhatsApp messages, you know, for many organizations these days, you know, Microsoft Teams, you know, WhatsApp, and you know, so many different groups. Everyone's communicating via text these days.
Yeah. One of the things that's come up in a big way here in Singapore, and I have received these calls multiple times, you get a call and you think it's from DBS or it might be another bank. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about these unsolicited calls. What are the things that we should watch out for?
Yes, you know, I've received them too. I'm sure most everybody has received this kind of call. Well, you know, if you receive a call which is unsolicited, you know, especially if it purports to come from a bank, if you did not initiate the call, then you must ask yourself, why is the bank calling you? All right? Now, of course, if you did actually call the bank and you requested a call back and then the bank calls you back, you know, then, of course, you at least understand why the bank is calling you. If not, banks don't just call you for no reason. And if they do, and if there's a reason, you know, the caller says, look, there's something we need to check with you, then if it's unsolicited, you may want to go and verify that it's really someone calling from the bank. And the way to do that is quite simple. Say, look, okay, I'll just, what's your name? I'll call you via the hotline.
Okay.
Right? And you don't necessarily need to speak to the person who called you, right, to get your problem solved. You could very well speak to anyone in the particular department. And that will solve any potential problem or issue in which the bank is supporting to call you about.
But Keith, we've been talking about preventive measures and this is if one has a cautious mind. But what if you're in the middle of a scam? Let's say, for example, you're in the middle of an insurance scam. You obviously don't meet the scammer face-to-face and, you know, suddenly halfway through someone points it out to you. What can you do then? Is there any legal action that you can take to stop? Or if you've just only given out, transferred some kind of money or for that matter?
Okay, typically with this insurance scam, it's more likely you would have met someone.
Yes, okay.
You know, people usually don't buy insurance without meeting an agent. So typically, you know, sometimes there are these, I'm not saying all agents, obviously. Sometimes there are some agents who are rogue, or some may pretend to be agents when they're not. And then they get people to transfer the money to them instead. Instead of actually asking the client to pay the insurer directly. So of course, you know, there are things which can be done in those circumstances, because at least you can identify the perpetrator.
Right.
A lot of problems with the scams these days, right, if you are unable to know who is the scammer, and that makes taking legal action more complicated, then you've got to try and trace where your money has gone in order to try to potentially identify the scammer. And even so, that may not always be successful.
And in those scenarios, you actually need the cooperation from the bank, right? Because you're talking about, and forgive if I'm using the language wrongly, you're talking about subpoenaing records of bank transfer, which account it went to, in order to identify this supposed person. Am I correct to bark up that tree?
Yes, that's right. So you may need to get information from the bank, and you need their cooperation. And sometimes, of course, the banks, you know, they are bound by their banking secrecy. You will need to go and get court orders to force them to disclose this information to you. And then you start this tedious process, which unfortunately, sometimes by the time you get all this information, the money is no longer there anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the really scary scams for me is the idea of someone hacking one's account and then duplicating their account, especially on social media. So somebody coming up with an account which is masquerading as your WhatsApp account or something like that. Do these things really happen? How easy is it for them to happen? Can you tell us a little bit more about social media impersonation scams?
Well, so there are some situations where people just create an account pretending to be someone else. You know, those situations, usually you report to Facebook, for example, and that can be typically dealt with that way. Now, of course, if your account gets hacked, that's a different story, because then the person who goes into it, you know, can go and message friends and try and get information for your friends. You know, I've heard of cases where they blackmail the victim. Well, this kind of situations, look, you really got to be cautious about your passwords, you know, OTP and things like that.
Ah, is that what it is? Because that's what I was wondering, was how on earth does somebody hack your social media account?
You use the same password over and over across all your different accounts, you know, and especially if you were to let slip your password. You say, for example, you give it to a friend because, you know, you track this friend and you send it over maybe social media. You know, if someone enters your friend's social media, they can get that password, obviously.
Mm.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think discipline is key in how you handle your account information, your username, your password, and things like that. Because you're not careful with it, you're not disciplined, you just give it away. Sometimes it's not your friend's intention that to reveal this information, but your friend may get compromised, and then in turn you get compromised.
Just very anecdotally and very quickly, it's not a question, but it's just something I want to share with our listeners while we're talking about this. So my cousin is a cybersecurity expert and has worked for some of the biggest banks, and he told me the best password is a phrase. So it would be something like, I love to eat bananas in the morning, or something like that. Or I love being a radio DJ. So they're a little bit of advice.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, at the end of the day, you really got to pretend. And that's why I love SingPass so much, because that's quite strong. Keith, let's do a bit of profiling here. If, let's say, someone has hacked a family member's social media account or a friend's social media account, and I get messages from this person, what are some of the signs that I need to look out for when I, as a potential victim, am trying to take care of myself and ensure that this person is not some kind of a fraud?
Well, same way you would check whether or not the bank is really calling you. Pick up the phone, call, hear your family member's voice. Especially when you look, the message seems a bit strange. Is that really happening? If you're wondering, then best to just pick up the phone and call.
Go for the direct approach. I like that.
Yeah.
And Keith, what do we know about how scams are evolving? What sort of things should we be on the lookout, and how will they become more advanced in coming years?
Well, that's, you know, really difficult to speculate, you know, like you said, you know, especially with Bitcoin, you know, especially whatever trending, you know, the scammers need a way to entice their victims. So they're also going to look out to try and think, look, how can I convince someone, especially those investment scams, that I'm going to help them make a lot of money?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then prey on you know, individuals' greed, you know.
Yeah, so look out for what's trending, and if it's too convenient, well, it might not be. Suddenly my bunker idea isn't so bad, isn't it? I've been speaking with Keith Su, who is joint managing partner at Emerald Law. Keith, really appreciate your time. Thanks so much for everything you've shared with us. Take care and stay safe, yeah?
Thank you. You too.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.